We hope this explanation of God's Word enriches your life. To help you understand the audience for this talk, we suggest you read the context material on the About Us page. Please read also our copyright page before recording or reproducing any material from philipjensen.com.
They're the two big aims that I want us to remind ourselves again from the Scriptures. So Alison's going to read first in 1 Corinthians chapter, it's page 1147, page 1147 in our Bibles. Page 1147, 1 Corinthians 3, from verse 5, over the page to down verse 17. Thank you, Alison.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labour. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple.
Let me just draw a couple of matters to your attention here. Number one, we are God's field, God's building, God's temple in this passage. You see two of those metaphors in verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers, says Paul of himself. You are God's field, God's building. And then down in verse 16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? These are extraordinary claims for Christianity and for the Church of God. It doesn't come from our pride, because it doesn't come from our behaviour. It comes from God's indwelling Spirit, by which God has marked us out as his own. The Church of Jesus Christ just looks like any other gathering of ordinary people, of people of no consequence and no significance amongst all the millions of people in the world. And that, well, that's true. That's what we're like. We're just a gathering of ordinary people, with the joys and the difficulties and the triumphs and the failures and the foibles and the disappointments of any other bunch of people that kind of gathers together. But that is not all that we are if we're in Christ Jesus. For if we're Christ's people, born again by the Spirit of God, who have turned in repentance and trust to God, that makes us God's people. And the metaphors used here, God's field, God's building, God's temple. Like a person going out and buying a field and making it his own, or building his own building, or a temple in which God lives. That is what we are. Very big claim. Second claim is that we are God's fellow workers. God has chosen to do his work through humans. The work of preaching and teaching the gospel, praying and serving one another in love. And again, it's an extraordinary claim. We are God's building, but we are God's fellow workers. We're his partners in his work, engaged in his work in the world, where we are engaged in building his church. He doesn't have to use humans to build his church, but he chooses to use humans to build his church. Now, the passage in front of us talks about Paul and Apollos as the we. But it also mentions anyone who builds on the foundations that the apostles laid. And in chapter 16, there are non-apostolic builders who are called the workers of the Lord. Indeed, we're told at the end of chapter 15 that we must be abounding in the work of the Lord. As we build each other up in the Lord Jesus Christ, so we build Jesus' church, God's church. And this activity of building the church is the very nature of church life, using the gifts that God has given us to serve one another. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's just over a few pages. You're in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians verse chapter 14. And look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 12. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. And across at verse 26, what then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If you're truly spiritual, you'll seek to serve other people by building them up and building the church up. And when we come to church with whatever gifts we have, we are to use them for building one another up. So our first aspiration here at St. Andrew's Cathedral is to be building the church. That's our first aspiration. Our second aspiration has got to do with evangelism. And it's found also in 1 Corinthians 10. Brian's going to come and read to us. Brian is doing his second year of the MTS training scheme with us here. And in chapter 10, page 1153, chapter 10, Brian, if you'd read for us from verse 31 through to chapter 11, verse 1, please.
So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offence to the Jews, or to the Greeks, or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything that I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ.
But in what ways are we to follow the example of Paul? Well, by following the example of Christ. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. But in what ways are we to follow the example of Christ? There are three things that are involved. Firstly, do all for the glory of God. We can't use shortcuts. We can't use disgraceful, underhanded methods. Whatever we do must be God glorifying, as Jesus himself lived without lies and without sin and always sought his Father's glory, so must we. Secondly, we must put ourselves out to please others. Not that we will sin to please them, of course. After all, we do all to the glory of God. But we don't stand on our own preferences, on our own likes and tastes. We don't act in a way that will cause unnecessary offence to others. We know what Paul meant by this because just look back on the page, across the page there in chapter 9 verse 19, for he says, "For though I am free of all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jew I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." Which brings us then to the third point. To the first point, do all for the glory of God. Second point, put yourself out to please others. Why? The third point, seek the salvation of others. We want others to share in the blessing of the salvation, of sins forgiven, and of adoption into the family of God, and of life eternal, and knowing Christ as our Lord and Saviour. And so we are committed to evangelism, in that we are following the example of Paul, who constantly put himself out for others, that they may hear and understand the gospel. I do all things to all men, so that by all means I might save some. More importantly, we are not just like Paul, but we are following his example of imitating Jesus. For that was the Lord himself who put himself out for the salvation of others. The saying is sure and trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You can't put yourself out for people much more than that. Leave heaven to come to this world and leave this world by crucifixion and resurrection in order to do what? It was to save others. So as a cathedral, the mother church of all the diocese, sitting in the centre of the city of Sydney and on top of the busiest railway station in town, we are concerned to reach the city with the gospel of Jesus. Reaching the city in the sense of reaching Sydney, because this is the central church of the Anglican Diocese of Sydney, but also reaching the downtown city, the 40,000 people who are living in high rise between Town Hall Station and Central Railway Station, the several hundred thousands who come every day to work here, the many, many thousands who come to play here. But do you see the New Testament background to our aspirations? To build the church and to reach the city, because we are in edification and evangelism. That's what we're into. Well, let's pray about it. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that by his death and resurrection we've been saved. We thank you for those who brought this gospel message to us. We give great thanks, Father, for them. Let's just spend a moment thinking of them, the person who spoke to us about Jesus, our parents, our Sunday school teachers, or the youth group leader, or a friend. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our congregation, whereby we can be built up by others who have got gifts that you have given to them for our benefit, and where we can build others up using the gifts that you have given to us to edify them, so that your church may grow more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the privileged opportunity we have in this central location to uphold the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the city of Sydney. We pray for our sinful city, Father, that you would have mercy and send your spirit upon many people, that they might come into fellowship with you through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, we're now going to sing a Christmas carol. It's not everybody's Christmas carol. People don't know it generally, but it's a great Christmas carol. Well, one of the ways we understand what we're doing this year is to look at our cathedral ministries. And these ministries are the trellis, the lattice work, the structure upon which we do our work, which is serving people prayerfully by proclaiming to them the great news of the Lord Jesus Christ. A very useful book came out last year, this little book called The Trellis and the Vine. It's on sale in the bookshop there. It's a really useful book by Colin Marshall and Tony Payne, which uses this image of the trellis, the lattice work, the structure of Christian ministries, and the vine, which is held up by the structure, which is really the heart of what the ministry is about. You can build a wonderful trellis and not have a vine on it, and it's fairly useless. A vine doesn't need a trellis, but it will grow much better if it has one to work on. And so for a little while I'm going to talk about the trellises, all the different works that we do here. Well, I'm not going to talk, I'm going to get other people to explain as well. Firstly, and you can see a list there in your outline, firstly we're going to look at the cathedral congregations. Now, let's start with Chris Allen. We're going to get all kinds of staff members to pop up. It's helpful if they get up behind here and just move quickly through this and not touch the microphone, would be my guess. Chris, you're responsible for the 8:30 a.m. congregation and for the healing congregation. Can you tell us who comes to 8:30 in the morning and what are the aims there? And tell us about the healing ministry.
The 8:30 congregation is a wonderful group of people.
How are we going? Let's start again. That's it.
The 8:30 congregation is a wonderful group of people. It meets, obviously, just before you come together here. It's a very traditional service where we read the prayer book. We do prayer book services, Holy Communion each week. It's a robed service, but it's a small gathering of encouraging people. We always have a great breakfast behind, and so everybody is always welcome to come along. On a Wednesday night, we have our healing service, and it's wonderful that Philip gave an introduction to the healing service, because really the healing service is all about building people up and evangelising our city. We have people come in here every Wednesday night, walking past the cathedral, they see the banner that says healing service, and they come in with real felt needs, and we have wonderful people, godly people here, who pray for them and tell them about Jesus and tell them the very truth that Jesus will meet all their needs. And so that's what we do.
Do I have to be sick to go to the healing ministry?
Not at all. In fact, most people aren't sick who come to the healing service. Most people are people who just want to come along and encourage other people and pray for other people. A lot of people were sick when they came, but stay to edify, build them up and evangelise them.
Chris Moroney, would you lead us in prayer for those ministries, please?
Thank you very much for the opportunity that we have here in the city to have the 8:30 traditional service and the healing ministry. Father, we pray that more and more people would become regular members of both these gatherings, that people would be committed to serving one another and growing together. Father, we pray especially for the healing ministry, that as more and more people come and find that Jesus is the one who is able to meet their needs, they would indeed reach out to others who come along with those same concerns. And we pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. We have three congregations meet in the evenings here. The first one is at 4 o'clock in the evening, and it's the Asian Bible Church. Andrew Lim is the pastor of that. So, Andrew, tell us about the Asian Bible Church. Who are you seeking to minister to and to reach with this ministry?
Philip, if any of us read Sunday Magazine, you'll know that the composition of this area is rapidly changing. And ABC's continuing mission is to reach mainly Asians in and from the city with the momentous news of Jesus Christ as we adapt to the rolling migration waves that come through the CBD.
Okay, and what are the things we could pray for this year?
Well, in terms of our plans for 2011, we continue to build a Christian community here in the cathedral to reach out to that city as Chinatown changes into Thai Town and Little Korea and Little Tokyo. We have a three-pronged Mars bar strategy of reaching people, that is, reaching those who work, rest and play here in the city with the good news of Jesus.
I thought you were going to say we gave Mars bars out. Okay, thank you. The second congregation is Fix. Thank you, Andrew. And our Fix pastor's away. Where is our Fix pastor, please, Rebecca?
He's in India at the moment.
Teaching. Try it again.
He's in India at the moment.
He's in India at the moment. That microphone is going to give us problems all morning, is it? Don't touch it and we're in business. Try it now.
He's in India at the moment teaching the PTC course to Indian pastors.
Good. Now, you're a member of the Fix congregation. Who is the Fix congregation named for? It meets at what time does it meet?
5:30.
And in the chapter house?
Yeah.
Who's it aiming to reach?
It's a contemporary service trying to reach the school students and young workers in the city.
Okay. And what can we pray for, especially for this year? Sorry. Yes, you're not allowed to touch that lectern, apparently.
This year, well, Josh Abdazonic, the pastor, is in India at the moment, so you can pray for him as he winds down and comes back to continue the ministry there, and also for reaching the school and the effectiveness of Fix Youth Group as it seeks to connect it to the church.
Okay, thank you very much. Our third group is the City Night Church. What time does it meet, Mike?
We meet in here at 6:30 of a Sunday evening.
And who comes at 6:30 on a Sunday evening?
We get a disparate group of people of various ages from all over Sydney, predominantly around the cathedral, though not as widely spread as, say, this congregation. But we start from about mid-20s and we go all the way up to 70s and 80s. It's a very different kind of gathering than this gathering. We have a band and we stop for a break in the middle of church and encourage each other in the gospel of Jesus.
Okay, and what can we be praying for this congregation?
Well, we read last year as a congregation that book, The Trellis and the Vine, and so it'd be helpful if you could pray that we could put into practice those things that we've learned, such that we do encourage each other to reach out to those around us in the city.
Good. Chris Allen, lead us in prayer, would you?
Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we do thank and praise you for your word that unites all of us. Father, we thank you that you allow us to be part of your mission, to build your church, to reach your city. And so, Father, we do bring before you the three evening congregations. Father, for ABC, for Fix and City Night Church, we pray for godliness. Father, we pray that these congregations would all be bold in the way that they proclaim your gospel. We ask, Lord, for flexibility for these congregations to be able to teach, proclaim and encourage and reach out to the diverse city that you have given us. Father, we ask that your name be glorified in all of our evening services, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now we turn to think about our own congregation at 10:30. And Alison is one of the assistants here. By the way, there are lots of other congregations we're meeting. So, for example, Friday lunchtime we have a communion service being held here. Thursday evening we have a sung evening prayer with a choir leads us on Thursday at 5:30 p.m. There are lots of other congregations. They're just the main ones I've mentioned. But Alison comes here and is our works at our pastoral team here on Sunday mornings. So, who comes here at 10:30 on Sunday morning? You've looked at the roll more than most of us.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you should ask that. I was thinking, have a look around, everyone. So many different people come on Sunday mornings. We have families, we have married people, we have unmarried people, we have people of all sorts of nationalities. We've got a great span of people coming here at 10:30 congregation.
And spread from all over the city of Sydney?
All over the city of Sydney.
How far away do people travel?
Well, we do have some people coming from Falconbridge. We also have some people coming from way down south, one from Stanwell Park, and quite far up north as well, all over the city.
That's part of it. And then there's also just being locals here. We come here each Sunday to fellowship with one another publicly in hearing God's word and declaring his praise and to giving thanks to him for his kindness to us and to pray for him for our needs. Now, let's take a few moments just to think about those things I just said. We fellowship with one another. That's why when we come here, it's important that we get to know and love each other. How can we do that? Well, one way is by staying on for refreshments, which we serve every Sunday. Just here behind us at the moment is where we're serving them, and out at the playground outside for the families are there. Another way is by lunching with people that you meet in church. Helen and I always come here ready to go out to lunch with people, and I've seen the couple of friends who have arrived this morning who I'm just going to invite for lunch later on if they haven't been invited by the friends who's sitting next to them. But if we can get in first, we will. But we look to actually lunch with people and stay in the city for that little longer and meet with them and talk further so that we may get to know people. It's important that we serve other people, and in meeting people in our service, from there's any number of stuff serving, from ushering to serving refreshments to helping with the technical team. There's any number of ways to serve. But we come to hear God's word. And so it's important that we prepare when we come to hear God's word. Now, to that extent, you'll notice that in your outline, you're given again this week the preaching program. That's right, this leaflet, which tells you what we're going to be preaching on in the coming weeks. That is so that you'll be ready to prepare ahead. You'll see most of this term will be preaching through the book of Titus, sometimes very small little passages. But read them over beforehand. Think about them. Talk about it with your husband, your wife, or the children. And get ready to understand what it is that God is saying. And then afterwards, discuss the sermon. Pull it apart. Don't pull the preacher apart. We all know the great failings and foibles of our preacher, me. But do pull the sermon apart and say, that's an interesting idea. What do you think? And think about it. And we fellowship publicly. For one of the distinctives of the cathedral, as opposed to parish churches generally, is that we have visitors and newcomers here all the time. Now, with due apologies to our visitors and our newcomers, I want to spend a few moments training our members in what to do with visitors and newcomers. So visitors and newcomers, just have a little sleep here for a moment. We'll get you back in a moment or two. Or come and tell me later that they failed dismally or succeeded magnificently. You see, we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ and, less importantly, the Diocese of Sydney here in this church. And it's important we welcome anyone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, from any background that they may come from, and anybody who wants to find out more about him. They need to know that they are welcome here. I can say it, welcome here out the front. I can even smile as I say it, but it's you in the pew beside them who make them feel welcome or not. And so sometimes we conduct gatherings in a way that will reach out to the public. If you look at the preaching program here for a moment, if you just get that out and look at it, you'll see that next Sunday we have a public thanksgiving and prayer time concerning the floods and the drought. And John Anderson, the ex-Deputy Prime Minister of Australia, is going to come and lead us in prayer here. And we're inviting other people from the community to come and join us on this occasion. We'll also have some boys from King's School, John Anderson's old school actually, who have just started down in the city, Year 7 boarders. Most of them are country boys. They know floods and droughts, and they'll be here for next Sunday. The following Sunday, we're going to have a commencement for Craig. Come up and tell us. We're going to have a commencement service for our own school the following Sunday. Craig is our chaplain of the school and a member of our congregation. Craig, how many children are there in the school?
There's 1,200 students just across the square there, from kindergarten all the way to Year 12, co-educational boys and girls.
That's a huge task to be seeing. What percentage of them would come from Christian families or homes?
It's difficult to know exactly, but I'd say a large majority, 70-80% would be from non-Christian backgrounds, I'd say, non-Christian homes.
And what does the commencement service do for us? What opportunity does that provide for us? Apart from us praying for you and for John and for the other teachers, what other opportunities does it provide for us?
It's an opportunity to welcome the school community to the cathedral family. A lot of the families, their only connection with anything, and students, anything to do with Jesus Christ is through the school and through the cathedral here. So it's a great opportunity to welcome them and show them the love of Jesus.
Good. Thanks, brother. That's great. It's a really important work. And it's the cathedral school. And it's really important that the cathedral school owns and understands the cathedral, and for the cathedral to own and understand our school. Because it's a great pride and privilege of this cathedral is our long-standing relationship with this school that we founded. Later in the term, you'll see we'll be holding special gatherings for the ANZAC period, where we pray for our forces from overseas. In the past years, governors and Angus Houston and other senior members of the Defence Force come and join with us on that occasion, as we're one of the very few churches that offers to pray for their many service personnel who are serving overseas in terrible times and difficulties. And then, of course, the week after that is our Easter time. Now, in some of those occasions, we dress more formally. And some of them we dress informally, and I just thought it'd be helpful if I actually say something about it. You come to church in anything you like that's modest. But the staff out the front, we wear what we think is going to be suitable for the occasion to which we come. And so when a formal occasion, like the Anzac Day service one, I'll be wearing robes. I'll call that formal. There are other occasions, like next Sunday, when the schoolboys, the boys from King's, are going to have to wear their school uniform, so therefore I'll wear my suit. Because they've got to wear their suit, I should wear my suit to make them feel welcome. I'm not asking you to. It'll be really hot. It'll be daft to. And I'll try and persuade them to take their coat off if the principal will let me. And there are other occasions like today which we're going to call informal. If you ever want to know what we're doing, it's actually printed on the courier, but you just haven't noticed for various reasons. But down here, when we talk about next Sunday, there's just a little SF and SF there, which doesn't make sense. It means semi-formal. It's just for the staff, just to let you know. And when you see formal, that means we're going to be dressed up because the governor's coming or somebody that we think. But notice it's just 1 Corinthians 10:31 to 11:1, isn't it? We seek to dress in a way that causes no offence. Now, people who want to take offence will take offence at anything, won't they? But as much as possible, we're just trying to dress in a way that our guests, if our guests are getting dressed up in a military service, they will, then we think we should get dressed up. And if our guests aren't getting dressed up particularly, well then, we don't think we should either. My view of informal is what I have on at the moment, all without a tie. I'm not talking about the clergy. dressing in our shorts and sandals. Much more important than what the staff are wearing is how you welcome people in the pew around you. Now, we've got four different kinds of people amongst us. And these four different kinds of people I want to draw your attention to. At the end of every pew, there is one of these folders. Now, this is an activity now. I need everybody to take action. Get out the folder and open it up, and you'll see we've got different things in it this week than we normally have. Pass it along the pew so that everybody gets hold of a yellow slip and, if possible, one of the pencils that are available. Please make sure everybody has it, because you can't understand what I'm about to say without it. Now, if there are not enough, you care to put your hand up. We've got a few extra ones here. No? What's up? No way. That's right. If you haven't got one because your folder was short-changed, put your hand up and I'm sure one of the staff will come around and give you one. When you open it, the first thing that comes across on this page here is it says a cathedral partner is someone who's committed to active partnership in the ministry of the gospel at St Andrew's Cathedral. And then we also have a cathedral member is someone who attends our Sunday gatherings regularly. And then there's a newcomer is someone who has begun attending St Andrew's Cathedral in the last 6 months. And then there's visitors on the back. And visitors are people who have just turned up for today and they're not going to be here tomorrow or next week to be more. They've come from out of town, the tourists who have arrived here. They're just one-offers, and we love to have you, and we're really glad you're here. You've come on a funny Sunday, haven't you? But that's all right. We're happy. We're really glad that you can see what we do and why we do what we do. There are four kinds. We let you identify what kind of person you are, and later on I'm going to ask you to fill in this form, and we'll collect it in the last hymn. But one of our big difficulties, if I can draw your attention away from that sheet now that I've given it to you, one of our great difficulties in this cathedral is to differentiate newcomers from visitors. That's one of our difficulties. It's because we are spread out from all over Sydney, we don't just live in a suburb, we're not all neighbours with each other, getting to know each other as a congregation is one of our difficulties. And this kind of form and the next few steps that I want to give you are how we overcome our difficulties. What I want us all to do is to take responsibility, all our members, all our partners, to take responsibility to greet people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to church on Sunday morning here, think, who am I going to greet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Because it's our responsibility to make our visitors feel welcome amongst us. And to assist any newcomer into the labyrinth of congregational life. Because where do you start joining up with the congregation? I've had people sit in church for 3 months and still not work out how to join. Now, we've got to work out how to get people joining a lot faster than that, haven't we? So how do we get them to join? Here's what to do. Rule number one, which you don't have to keep. Always sit in the same place. You like that rule because most of you do, don't you? Right? I mean, George is always sitting just where George is sitting. That's his standard place that he's sitting, you know. And the Russell family always sits on that side. And Judith, she moves. She's a mover. She's never in the same place twice. But generally, I know where you are because you're all in the same spot every week. And that's terrific. I want you to be in the same spot every week. Because if you're in the same spot every week, you will be able to pick who the newcomers and visitors are up, won't you? Because you just look around that pew that you're always sitting in and, hello, there's someone I haven't seen sitting in these pews just here. And so guess whose job it is to say hello to them? Yes, it's yours. And to engage them with conversation. It's always good to speak to people before the gathering starts because that makes it easier to speak to them after the gathering has finished. So that means you have to get here on time, of course, to speak to people beforehand. But in general, our visitors are the first people here, in general. So come early, speak to people in the pew that is your pew. I'm happy for you to call it my pew, provided you don't fight people about it. And then when the time comes to fill out the contact card, make sure you do. grab hold of the folder and help the people around about you filling out the contact card. Those who are visitors, we haven't got a contact card today because we're using this special yellow form, but our regulars know what I'm talking about. Fill it out every week. I fill it out every week. The congregation, the staff know who I am and they know where I live and all that, but I still fill it out every week because I want to help the visitor and newcomer near me feel comfortable about filling it out. So I'm doing it for their sake, not for my own sake. But it's really helpful if you... It's also helpful for us because it means that we know you're here and that you haven't fallen off the planet, you're not sick or something like that. If you don't fill out cards, we have to chase up every person all the time. It's much easier if you just fill out the card. It also is a place where you can put prayer points and the staff do pray through the things that you put down as a prayer point on those cards. It's a great help if you fill them out to us. At the end of the gathering, always invite the people that are near you up for refreshments. The people who flash out the door that I shake hands with are the ones that we find hardest to integrate into congregational life. And they're the ones that I meet who have been coming for 3 months and we still haven't got them into congregational life because they've never stopped to chat with us. So you invite people up for morning for refreshments afterwards. And then here's a big key. Introduce the newcomers to a staff member. But please do not introduce the visitors to a staff member. It's really critical that we meet the newcomers, not the visitors. It's all right if we meet the visitors. It's a good thing. We want to extend fellowship in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to everybody. But the ones the staff need to meet are the ones who are potentially coming back next week. They're the critical ones for us to meet. So if you know someone is likely or possibly able to come back next week, please make sure as best you can that you've introduced them to a staff member before they've left church that day. Well, that's the ministry of the pew. I'll write a little note for you about it sometime. But Chris, why don't you pray for us in our Sunday mornings here together?
Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for the privilege of gathering in this place around your word. We thank you for Philip's teaching and the other people who preach and teach. We thank you for the privilege of Bible study groups. And Father, we pray that you'd help more and more of us to be incorporated into those small groups where we can get to know one another, get to know your word that much more, and share our joys and sorrows together. Father, we pray for this sense of ministry and sense of belonging. Father, we pray that you'd help us to reach out to one another in love, in Christian love and fellowship, to get to know one another in deepening friendship. And as we share the ministry of the pew together, as friends, as Christian brothers and sisters, to be able to reach out to those who are new among us, to give a very warm welcome to all visitors, but especially to incorporate newcomers. Father, we pray that you'd help us to grow a Christian community of disciple-making and reaching out people. Father, we pray that you would help us to be able to follow the suggestions that have been given about filling out the cards, inviting people for refreshments, introducing newcomers to the staff. Father, help us to be intentional as we seek to grow your church in this place, for Jesus' sake.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Chris. Now, Alison, pop back. Where have you gone? You've gone good. How about you use this microphone? And we get other people up there. Inside our congregational life, there's a whole series of sections. You'll see sectional interests. I didn't know what to call this, but different groupings in our congregation. And I thought it'd be good to get a break from my voice if Alison was to interview a couple of these people. So tell us about the ministry to women first.
Certainly. That's one of my prime responsibilities here, to minister among the women. And we have two big mornings of Bible study here at the cathedral. We have Monday mornings on the second and the fourth Monday, where we have a group of women meeting to study the Bible together. And then on Thursday mornings, we have another group of women who come every week to meet and study the Bible together. They're called TAT, which stands for Thursdays at 10. And we always love having newcomers come along to our Bible study groups.
And is there creche for little children at those Bible studies?
On the Thursday Bible study, we run a creche as well, so that the mums can come and study the word while their kids are looked after safely. That's downstairs in the lower chapter house, the creche, and upstairs is where the Bible studies meet.
Terrific. Why don't you ask us, why don't you talk about the men?
Yes, I don't know about the ministries to men, so I thought Craig could tell us about this. What happens on Thursdays normally?
On Thursday morning, at the lovely time of 7 o'clock in the morning, there is a men's Bible study group, a small group of men that meet to pray and study the Bible together. And so we arrive at 7 o'clock with caffeine cups in hand and spend a bit of time sharing and praying for each other. And then we worked our way through the book of Numbers last year, so we didn't take things too quickly, but it's a great time of just meeting up with other blokes and being encouraged together to love Jesus more.
Would you like new people to join you?
We would love new people to join us. I've had lots of people that have said, oh, that sounds like a good idea, busy city workers, and but not many of them actually have made it. When the alarm goes off at 6 o'clock, it's easy to roll over. But do come along, you won't be disappointed.
Great. I believe men's ministry happens on Saturdays as well, and I think Mike is going to tell us about that. What happens on Saturdays, Mike?
It is on Saturdays, number of Saturdays throughout the year, we have breakfasts where we have lots of cholesterol and lots of protein. We eat bacon and eggs, and it's a great morning actually of Bible teaching where we're encouraged to live as Christian men in this sinful world. Now, we also have men that meet during the week for breakfast and lunch. They meet in the city and they meet up for prayer and Bible study and encouragement. And so if you'd like to be involved in that, speak to me or any of the ministry team afterwards. I'll be in touch with you later on in the year about the dates. But the date that you need to know if you're a man and if you're a wife married to a husband, then you need to know about Cathedral, the men's ministry up at Katoomba, which is coming up on the 5th of March. We've got two great speakers, Justin Moat, who's a Scottish lad, and David Cook, who's Aussie-born and bred, and he'll be speaking to us on the temptations that men face, and speak to me as well.
Thanks, Mike. Now, we'll go a little younger to our children's ministry, and Brian is returned to us to tell us about his time with Cathedral Kids. So your first year of doing your ministry apprenticeship, one of the things you did was serve with Cathedral Kids. What was that like?
It was amazing. Doing ministry with children was a fun, exciting experience, but it was also very challenging to teach the Word of God to children in a simple way.
And what age groups meet and where does it happen?
There are a group of infants which meet downstairs, and that's the creche. And primary school kids, so grade 1 to grade 6, are looked after in the Sunday school room in the upper chapter house.
Excellent. But you're graduating a little bit this year. You're going to the next age group up, which is the teenage group on a Sunday mornings. Have you done any youth ministry before, Brian?
I spent about 8 years doing youth ministry at my local church, running the Bible studies and also running the youth group.
All right. So the kids that are meeting with you on Sunday mornings at this time, they'll be in safe hands by the sounds of things.
Yep.
Brilliant. Thank you, Brian.
Alison, why don't you lead us in prayer for the family ministries before we move on to other areas?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for families. We thank you for the families you've given us, and we thank you for all the families that meet here Sunday by Sunday. We thank you for the women who meet to study your word on Mondays and Thursdays. We pray that you will richly bless that time this year and teach us much from your word. We thank you for the men's ministry, for the Thursday morning groups, and for the Saturday events. Father, we pray that you will continue to grow this ministry and grow the men in our congregation, that they might be fine, godly leaders and teachers of your word. Father, we pray for the children and particularly for Cathedral Kids and Judy as she coordinates that. Father, we pray that it will be a safe and happy year of knowing Jesus more and more. And we pray for the teen group and for Brian as he takes on leading that. Father, we pray that more and more teenagers will come to know Jesus as they come here to the Cathedral and meet with us. And we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we also have ethnic sectional groups, and one of the groups that we're particularly interested in is India. As you heard, our Fix pastor is at the moment in India and with a team from Fix and from other congregations doing Bible teaching in India. Tom has just returned from India. When was that?
On Friday.
On Friday, where he's been ministering there. And Tom, we also run a Indian subcontinental fellowship. It's not just Indian, is it? What does it cover?
Anybody who'd like to come, really. It's for people from or interested in the great subcontinental countries.
Which are
India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Bhutan, Nepal, etc., etc. Sri Lanka.
Oh, I thought you left Sri Lanka out and I could see a Sri Lankan just looking. Good. And when and where do we meet?
Yes. We encourage everyone to belong to one of our regular congregations. That's step one. But we do have our sectional interest, as is put there. We have a meal together about five times a year on a Sunday morning at 12:30, and that will be well advertised before the time. Lots of chili and then other bits and pieces, which seems to go down fairly well. But then once
this
a fortnight...
This is the curry Christians, isn't it? Yes, okay.
Once a fortnight we have a Bible study here in the chapel at 12:30 after the morning tea, and that seems to work well for us.
Terrific. Thank you for that. Now, another exciting... Thank you, Tom. Another exciting newcomer to us is Ison Ju. I think I've said it correctly, but please say your name properly for me.
All right. My name is Ison.
Ison. Yep. Don't ask how it's spelled. It won't help you. Ison. Ison, where do you come from?
I came from mainland of China.
Whereabouts in China?
Shandong, near Korea and Japan.
Good. And how long have you been in Australia?
I've been in Australia for 13 years.
Good. And that's where you got your Australian accent?
Maybe.
Good. Ison has just joined our staff. It's an extraordinary thing, but someone very kindly has organised to finance Ison to be working with us here for 2 years. On our staff at no cost to the cathedral, which is an extraordinary kindness to us, because Ison can do something that most of us can't do, but we need to. That is, he can speak Mandarin. And most of our Chinese community around about us are Mandarin speakers, because the newcomers into Sydney from China are here in downtown Sydney. And so it gives us the opportunity of opening up a Mandarin-speaking ministry. Now, what have you been doing the last 4 years, Ison?
I was studying at a Moore College, and I just finished the last year.
Good. And what are you going to do next Saturday?
Well, next Saturday I will be ordained, and I will become one of the deacons.
One of the deacons. And where are you going to get ordained?
I think here.
Here. Yeah, exactly right. This is where the ordination happens. So Sunday morning he gets ordained to be an Anglican minister here, serving in our diocese and spending the first 2 years building a Mandarin-speaking work here in our cathedral, to which we can be really excited as a whole new development. We'll hear him read the Bible later. But Ison's also married. How long have you been married?
I have been married for 7 years, and my wife is Wendy.
And she's, Wendy's over she's here. Stand there. Up, Wendy, so we can all see her. And we don't want to just look, do we? We want to say welcome, don't we? Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Good. Andrew, come and pray for our ministries amongst the subcontinentals and the Mandarin speakers particularly. But before you do another ministry, don't you? The Conservatorium. Tell us about the Conservatorium Christian Fellowship.
The Conservatorium Christian Fellowship continues to reach out to the students of the Con and encouraging the Christian students to do the same. So we're thankful for the continuing ministry of the Con, and this year we're particularly thankful for the provision of a full-time staff worker in Tanya Ernji, a graduate of Moore College with 4 years of student work experience at the University of Cape Town.
But you're going over to the Con each week and take Bible studies there.
I will continue in the public preaching of the word there and the training of its leaders. But we're very thankful for Tanya because she'll engage in the on-the-ground contact work that we weren't able to do as effectively last year.
Well, how about you pray for subcontinental, Mandarin and Conservatorium?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the subcontinental ministry here at the Cathedral. And Lord, at this time we think in particular of the church on the subcontinent under persecution. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Anthony and the granting of a protection visa that he's been able to get in the last while or so. And Lord, we also thank you for Tom's ministry there in the last 2 weeks. Father, we pray that we would see the fruit of his labours
in many years to come, and certainly on the other side with you in heaven. Heavenly Father, we also thank you for Ison and Wendy. We thank you for bringing them among us and giving to them a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for endowing them with the gifts to serve your people and to reach their lost countrymen. And we pray for them that they, as they transition into cathedral life, we pray that you'd help them in that adjustment and give them eyes and a vision to see how they can reach the many people from a Chinese background in and around this cathedral. Father, we also thank you for the conservatorium ministry. We thank you for the provision of Tanya, and we pray that she would also adjust quickly to the rhythm of the conservatorium year. We pray that you'd grant her good relationships with the student leaders, and we pray particularly for this weekend as she organises the leaders' planning, that would come together well and would give us a good platform for the year ahead. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen.
Amen. Amongst other things, Andrew also organises our conventions. We had one last week, the Australia Day Convention. We have another one in Easter, which Mike organises for us, and then we have one on the Queen's Birthday weekend. What's the one on the Queen's Birthday weekend going to be on?
I believe it's on the King's Bible. So Queen's Birthday, King's Bible.
Yep, because this is the 400th year anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible, 1611. So we'll be 400?
400? Yeah, 400.
500?
500?
400. Anyway,
someone
we're having a celebration, not of our mathematical abilities. So that will be happening on the Queen's birthday. But we have a little film clip from what happened last Wednesday that we thought we'd just interrupt our proceedings by showing this film clip. It takes 1 minute. And so it went on all day. Now, there are many other wider interests we have in the world, in the gospel, and the Church Missionary Society and the like, but we won't pursue that, I think, at the moment. We also need to see the last thing is behind the scenes. That is, the cathedral can't operate without a whole host of people doing a whole host of things, from the chapter members and their discussions, through to the dusting of our pews every week, to the maintaining of it. The man who actually holds it all together is James Chick, and you need to see James and know him. James, you've been in this job now for a year. How has the first year of this work as the administrator of the cathedral been? Well, apart from working with a boss like me.
Someone said to me, so you left the corporate world to come and work for church. Does it mean it's a much easier job now? And I said to him, no, I've never worked so hard in my life before.
Good. What are the things that we as a cathedral, the material things of this, you know, buildings and all the rest of it, what is it, the critical things we need to be praying for?
Well, please pray for continued improvements in finances. It's very hard for me to work with nothing, unlike God who could create something from nothing. To make things run, to pay the bills and so on, I need money. So please pray for continued improvements in the finances. And also, please pray for wisdom for me as I work out what are the priorities I should put money towards, and what are the things I could, you know, let go for a little bit, and so on. Like fixing this, for example.
like fixing that, for example. But James, what happened 2 days before Christmas to our television and our sound system?
Oh, yes. Something very unexpected. The video system, our cameras and so on, completely died. And I mean so catastrophically completely died that I can't even just pull something apart and put something back in and make it all work. It just completely died. So in order to get around it, I threw together a whole heap of video cameras, and that sort of worked around it, but it's not a fix. It's not even a Band-Aid. It's half a Band-Aid. So, yeah, we need some finances to fix that system up. And it was quite a hair-tearing moment.
Yes, two days before, we're to see several thousand people come and sit behind our blessed pillars and therefore really require the video to work, it all collapsed. But James is a genius, and we survived, and I don't think any of the customers know that what went on, and I think we're very thankful for James in that work. However, we're looking at finding another $30,000 to fix the whole thing, so there we go. Chris, would you lead this in prayer for James and all the work that goes on?
Friends, I'm going to pray, and then at the conclusion of my prayer, you might like to take up your white sheets now, your programs, because I'm going to also lead us in the Lord's Prayer. And I'm also going to lead us in a prayer for the country of Egypt at the moment. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for all the staff who work here at the Cathedral. We especially give you thanks for providing for us the dedicated men and women who serve behind the scenes, who are led by James. We thank you for James and Lucy and their family. We thank you for their leadership and service to us. Father, we pray for all of the volunteers, everybody who works in our office behind the scenes, who comes in. We thank you for them. Our Father, we also bring before you now our finances again. Please give us the provisions to be able to minister to the people that you bring here to us to hear your glorious gospel. We pray for wisdom for James and the team who work in the office and deal with the finances. Our Father, we do thank and praise you for the peace and the prosperity that we enjoy in this country. At this time, we bring before you the needs of the country of Egypt. We ask that you would please bring peace to that country. Deliver a safe and good, wise government that will honour democracy and honour the people that you have given to that country. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Okay, in one sense, we've had notices for the last half hour, but actually, we need to know the notices for next week. So what are just the notices, Alison, that you want to bring to us?
Certainly. Just briefly, a couple of things to start the year and remind you of. If you've parked in St Andrew's House car park, the vouchers that look like this that you can find at each of the doors will get you out of parking for free, something to remember for the year ahead. Do stay, as Philip said, to share in refreshments. We'd love to have you join with us today. And particularly if it's your first time here, we do thank you for bearing with us and hearing all the messages, some and many of them were for our members and partners. And we do have something especially for you. Each newcomer should receive a DVD which has the welcome message on it and lots more information about us here at St Andrew's Cathedral. You'll pick them up at the exit doors as well. Just to let you know that Cathedral Bible Study is returning on Tuesday the 8th of February, and that meets here at 1 p.m. and Philip will be teaching us from Acts and continuing the series there. So if you're free at Tuesday lunchtimes, do come along. And as we've already mentioned, next week is a special gathering, a time of prayer and thanksgiving in the light of the recent droughts and floods, and Mr. John Anderson will be leading in prayer there. So why not invite friends and neighbours to come along as well to give thanks for that. I'm wondering, Philip, if now's the time for the folders and the cards.
No, now's the time for collection of the money.
Excellent. Well,
as we sing our next hymn, which is Take My Life and Let It Be All Your Purpose, Lord, for Me. But we'll take up the offertory during the singing of this hymn, if that's all right. And did we have a verse to remind ourselves with?
We do. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 to 6. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Let's stand and sing. Showing you some of the activities that are happening in the cathedral, it's easy to miss the point. That's the point of this book here, you see. We can have all these activities happening and no spiritual work taking place at all. It's easy to run activities. What we're interested in is the work of God in the lives of people, and through that, building the church and reaching our city. So, having heard about the cathedral ministries, the last section which I was going to look at is the cathedral ministry that goes beyond 2011 on into eternity. We'll leave out the Isaiah reading. Read it at home today. It's a great one. Let's turn to the Philippians reading in Philippians chapter 2. And Liz is going to come and read to us on this. And Liz has just started this week MTS with us, having just finished her degree down at Wollongong University. And don't read all we've got there, Liz. Just read Philippians 2, 5 to 11 for us, please.
Yep.
Which page number is it?
1180.
Thank you.
Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
The mindset that we are to have is the mindset of Jesus. Have this mind, verse 5, among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. And as we saw in 1 Corinthians, he put the interests of others ahead of himself for their salvation's sake. And friends, not everything we do in this cathedral is going to please everybody. It will not always be to your taste, or to my taste, or to the taste of the staff necessarily, or anybody else. We all have to put up with other people. That's part of being in a family. That's what family life's like, isn't it? Can't choose your relatives. One person likes one kind of music, another person likes another kind of music, and I've even met people who don't like music at all, although I think they're strange. But whatever it may be, that is what it is. What we try and do is not run a proper church. Some people like things being proper. Other people feel it smacks of formality. But we're trying to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that will cause least offence for the greatest number of people. And that means we'll do it differently in different places and different times. It's why we need to have a Mandarin speaker to actually reach. That's why we need a subcontinental fellowship. It's why we need to actually get dressed in robes for official occasions, and why we shouldn't on other occasions. It's why we use an organ and a choir on some occasions, and we have a band on other occasions. It's all things to all men, so that by all means we may save some. And it's Christian maturity which says, I don't like that piece of music, but I'll sing it for the sake of my brothers and sisters in Christ and for the sake of reaching those people. I have decided and distinctive tastes in music, but those tastes never affect the choice of music here. because Ross chooses it. I don't get a chance. And he doesn't choose it for my tastes, but for the tastes of where he feels the congregation's at and who we're seeking to reach and the occasion on which we're doing it. And so I sing with gusto, whatever the music. And you'll be very glad to know the microphone people turn me down. So that set of mind, it's like that on all issues. Look down further for the bit that we were going to read but we didn't. Look at verse 14 of Philippians 2. Do all things without grumbling or question, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so the day of Christ it may be I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labour in vain. Because Paul himself was poured out like a drink offering. It's not I, but Christ. And it's not I, but the person I'm trying to reach with the gospel that matters. And that is the mind of Christ and the example of Paul and the process by which we make decisions about what we're doing. We, of course, will get it wrong from time to time. That's life. But isn't it wonderful that we actually preach a gospel of grace and forgiveness? Doesn't excuse sloppiness, but it means that no matter what we get wrong, our Lord and Saviour, it's all about grace, forgiveness, apologies and repentance. So let us work together as a real family that loves one another. Now, before we sing our last hymn, we need to fill out these forms, because we're collecting them in the last hymn, so we need to fill them out now. And so let me just take you through them quickly as you fill them out with those pencils, and then we'll get you to put them back into the black folders at the end of each pew, and we collect up the folders. That's how we do it.
Thank you for listening to the talks on philipjensen.com. Please check our copyright page before recording or reproducing any material on philipjensen.com.